Welcome to the King's Cost, dynamic teaching recorded live at King's Church in Cambridge, England. We hope you are blessed and challenged by listening to the ministry today. And now, here's the broadcast.
Father, we honor your presence here, Lord. The word says, where two or more are gathered together in your name, you are there. Therefore, we thank you, Lord, by the authority of your word, that you are in our midst this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because we are not here just to tick boxes. We are here to meet you. We are here to hear your voice. And Lord, as I stand this morning to proclaim your word, I hide myself in Jesus Christ. For my life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. Therefore, I hide myself in Christ Jesus. I pray that the words will not be my own words, but you will speak to your people today, that you will speak to us, that lives will be changed, that lives will be transformed, and all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration will be to you and to you alone in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, let every heart be opened. Let every veil be removed, O God. And let your spirit move in this place. We give you praise, O God. We worship you and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. You can have your seat. Thank you. This morning we're going on a ride. And I hope to land in a place where I would like to just proclaim a prophetic word that God gave me. But I do deem it necessary to lay a foundation on a topic or a title called Prayer as a Lifestyle. Interestingly, I wasn't aware that we're going to be having a period of fasting and prayer. So this is, as Ali was talking to me this morning, I just got to know about that. So this is a confirmation that this is what God wants us to talk about this morning. Praise God. So prayer as a lifestyle. In Acts chapter 2, from verse 40 to 42, we're going to read through that. Hopefully it shows up on the screen. It says, and with many words he testified and exhorted them. This was Peter when he was giving the gospel in the book of Acts, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, they were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Praise God. Amongst many other things that they did steadfastly, prayer was deemed worthy to be mentioned there. And this was not by chance. It meant that prayer was a consistent part of what the apostles did at the beginning of the church. So prayer was a lifestyle to them. It wasn't just something they did on a Sunday morning. It wasn't something they did when they have troubles. It was something that was part of their lives consistently. Right, so the word steadfastly, as you can see in that verse, is from a Greek word called prokaterio. Hopefully I've not more than that. It means to devote oneself to something. It means to persist in something, to be constantly diligent. It means you give yourself over to something. All right. So it wasn't just they prayed. It wasn't just they did it in one occasion. It was something they've given themselves over unto. They were diligent in it. It wasn't an occasional thing. It was their way of life. And also we can see in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, when Jesus spoke about a parable. And this is one of the cases where the Bible explained the meaning of the parable before the parable was spoken. Luke 18:1 says, Jesus spoke a parable to them, and the intention of the parable was to teach them that men always ought to pray and not to faint. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. NKJV says lose heart, KJV says faint. So if prayer is not happening consistently, scripture equates it to fainting. And we'll talk more about that. All right. So I have a few points to just mention on the reasons why we should live a life of prayer. The reasons why you and I should have a lifestyle of prayer. The first reason, if you have some notes, it will be good to write. The first reason is that you have been designed for a life of prayer. Right? You have been designed for a life of prayer. Imagine yourself being a product. You were conceived by the product maker. And the intention they had in mind at that point was that you should live a life of prayer. Just like a product comes with a manual, the scripture reveals how we are meant to function. A life without prayer may seem functional, but it is actually a malfunction. We read it earlier. He spoke a parable to them that they ought always to pray and not to faint. And I want to ask you a question. What do you think is the opposite of prayerlessness? Just think about that. The opposite of prayerfulness. What is the opposite of prayerfulness? Most people will say it is prayerlessness. But according to this verse, it wasn't. According to this verse, prayerlessness is not really a thing. It's not a culture in the Bible. So it doesn't exist in the Bible in a sense. The opposite of prayerfulness, according to that scripture we just read, is fainting. You are either praying or you are fainting. In other words, if you are not praying, you are void of the life that God wants you to live. And that is fainting. Okay? If you are not praying, you are fainting. If you are not praying, you are spiritually being weakened. If you are not praying, you are living below design. You are living less than the standard that God created you to be. And this is where it gets very serious. Because we seem to have found other ways, creative ways to spend our lives without praying. We have found creative ways to live life without any regard to prayer. We find systems, no time to talk about what the Babylonian system is. Most of the government of this world, they are built on Babylonian system. And I don't need to tell you, your workplace is meant to make you work, and no time for God. It's on a system built to remove God from it. We already know what's happening in our schools in the United Kingdom and all over the world. Gradually, the enemy is trying to remove God from the equation. And if you are not consistently spending energy and effort to deliberately live a life of prayer, it's as if you are swimming in an ocean, in a wave. You are just being carried by the wave. If you are doing nothing about this topic, you are already wrong. Because the wave will just carry you to wherever the wave wants you to be. But until you start spending some energy, God's given energy to go against the wave, then you will not be able to actually live as God designed you to live. Praise the Lord. So it's important that we understand that. As we go out of the house every morning, as we go about our duties, whatever the duties are in the place of work, or even looking after children, you cannot do it by your own strength. Okay? You cannot do it by your own strength. Remember, you've been called to a life of prayer. To make it more harsh, you have been sentenced to a life of prayer. Many believers don't know that. And that's why believers sometimes live life, make decisions without any regard to prayer. So, prayer should be a lifestyle. We should understand that it is something that we are designed to live by. Praise God. Second point, we derive life from God through prayer. And this is also key. We derive life from God through prayer. John chapter 15 verse 4 says, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Okay? If you're not consistently praying, then I can tell you are disconnected from the source of life. You are disconnected from the author of life. We're not meant to live the Christian life in our own strength. You can't start, Paul said, from the realm of the spirit and try to sustain that through flesh. Jesus said, "Abide in me." One of the ways we abide in him is through prayer, spending time with him regularly. Without a continuous supply of God's life, we will wither. And that's also mentioned in John chapter 15. And also, if you find yourself too touchy, easily provoked, almost overcome with lust, sadness, depression, it's most likely a symptom that something is lacking in your spirit. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the spirit is what? Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness. Patience is here. Right. So if you are finding yourself behaving in ways opposite to those fruits, it means something is lacking in your spirit, because you are not bearing the fruit of the spirit. You are bearing the fruit of another spirit. So these are not just behavioral issues. They are signs of this disconnection. And one of the best things you can do for yourself daily is to spend enough time in God's presence, to be filled with his spirit and his life before your day begins. When you sow a seed or a tithe of the first hours of your day to God, you will reap a harvest of a blessed day. And people miss this because many times, sometimes I am guilty, we get so busy. I need to get to this, I need to get to London, I need to catch the train. I don't even have 5 minutes to pray. But the very thing that will make your day successful is the thing that you're actually ignoring. Because we cannot live without him. And Jesus Christ modeled this. I don't know who today is as busy as Jesus was. Jesus had many things to do. He had thousands of people to look at. Yet, he spent time with God every morning. We see it many times in the Bible. He would go to a secluded place early in the morning to pray, because he knows that his life is derived from spending time with God. And if Jesus did that, we should be doing it. We should take our devotion with God, our communion with God, our fellowship with God, we should take it much more seriously. We should not be like the people of the world. We should live as Christians, true Christians that we are. The life of Christ in us will be derived, the expression of that life will be derived when we spend more and more time with him. Praise the Lord. The third point is prayer ensures divine alignment. It helps us to ensure divine alignment. And I would like to speak further into this, because this is very interesting. Jesus also said in John 15, chapter 15, verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. But let's think about that for a few minutes. Is it really true that we have been able to do nothing without Jesus? We know even people that are not believers have achieved something without Jesus. We have celebrities all over TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, social media. Which other one? There's one more. All right. We have celebrities, people that, people highly regard, celebrate in court, model sometimes, make them small G-gods, right? And we seem to think they are successful. So if Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, what was he talking about? Does that mean we can not survive without him? No, he was talking much more deeper than it seems to be. We cannot live life properly without Jesus. That's one of the first points I would like to take from there. You cannot really have a successful career without Jesus. You cannot have a successful marriage without Jesus. You cannot even successfully serve Jesus without Jesus. You cannot really enjoy success apart from Jesus. But we see so many ungodly people that are called successful. So what are we talking about when we say success? The success in the eye of God is different from the success as the world defines it. Basically, from my definition, I stand to be corrected. Success is alignment with God. Think about it. It is not about the money you have. It is not about the fame, the title, or the degree you have. Thank God for money. Thank God for all those things. But those are not really the measure of success, as we know in the kingdom of God. Rather, kingdom prosperity and influence is a consequence of your alignment with God. So I'm not saying it's bad to have money. No. We need money for the gospel. We need money to propagate the gospel. We know that. So it's not about not having money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of evil, not money itself. So let's get that balanced. But my point this morning is that kingdom prosperity is a consequence of your alignment with God. When you are aligned with God, God will make you prosper in what you do for him. And Matthew 6:33 tells us that. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things that the world seeks after, what they will wear, what they will eat, it says, they will be added unto you. So the problem is, we usually change the order of priority. We seek for those things, and then those things distract us away from God. But the Bible says we should seek first his kingdom. What is his kingdom? His reign, his rulership over your life, over your decisions. Don't just make decisions anyhow. You just got offered a job. Ask God. It's not about being offered the highest paid job. Some miracles are not always, miracles in code are not always from God. Some of them are temptations to drive you away from your place of destiny. And that as a Christian, you must learn to bring every decision before God and let God be your priority. Whether with few or with many, God is able to win. Praise God. I think I went off there a little bit. Right, so our prayer should be, Lord, how do you want to glorify yourself in my life? How do you want to glorify yourself in my business? How do you want to glorify yourself in my career? These are things that you spend time in the place of prayer to settle and to sort. How do I give? How do I spend the money you've given me? The money you have is not your own. You are a steward of the money. You are a steward of the children you have, the car and everything. You are a steward. How do you spend them to make sure you are fulfilling purpose? Sometimes we need to pray, Lord, realign me Some of us have gone out of alignment. Not sometimes, not by choice. Sometimes the enemy has kicked us out. Sometimes we've made wrong choices. It's very, very good, very, very advisable, I would say, to pray consistent, Father, realign me. If I have gone off track, realign me. Help me to live out the story you have written concerning me in the volume of your books. So when we talk about divine alignment and being successful, at the end of the day, your success will not be judged by the word. It will be judged by God himself. And it will be based on what he designed you to fulfill in life. So it's very good to be divinely aligned to what God wants you to do. We can see it in the example of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. When he mentioned, says, "Behold, I have come in the volume." I believe this was by David, but was talking about Jesus. Said, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." I can tell you this morning, there is something that God has written concerning you in the volume of his books. There is a story that God has written concerning your life that you are meant to live out. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before you were physically born on earth, you existed. And God had a plan for you. He has already called you to do something, sanctified you, and he has a plan for you." So divine alignment is to help you to be aligned with God as written concerning you. Also, we see in Luke 4, 17 to 21, we're not going to read everything, but this was where they was recorded about Jesus Christ when he took this cross and he found a place in Isaiah, I believe, where it was written about him. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and so on and so forth. And then verse 21 says, "And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So that means Jesus knew exactly what was written concerning him. He was able to find it in the book. And was able to assure them that today it is fulfilled in your hearing. You don't want to spend your life building something that God never sent you to build. No. You don't want to spend all your time, all your energy, your resources building something that God never intended you to build. And it's very important that even when we talk about in ministry, in Christendom, it's not just about serving. Because there are many areas to serve. And there are areas that God wants you to serve. And it's also important to know that everything we do will be tested with fire. I don't know if many Christians know this, but there are different types of judgment in the Bible. There's a judgment sort of for those that didn't know Jesus, but there's also a judgment actually for the believers. And it's there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 12 to 15. It says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, capital D, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." So everything we do for Jesus will be judged. That should make us reference God more. So it's not about doing stuff. It's about doing what God has called you to do and having the right attitude, the right mindset about it. Even people may not see your heart, but God sees your heart. He knows the reason why you are doing something. And if that reason is not right, it will not survive the fire. I pray that our work for God will not be a waste in Jesus' name. So part of the lifestyle of prayer is to come into divine alignment regularly. Come before God. Lord, even sometimes, because it's a really heavy thing to stand before people and preach. Because there is a judgment for the teachers. The requirement of leadership is more stringent than the requirement for followership. So it's very good, very wise when you get to God in your closet, Lord, realign me. Have I said something to preach today that you didn't like? If you look at the story of Moses, Moses was the same person that God said, I'm going to wipe out all these people and I'm going to build a generation from you alone. And Moses pleaded for the Israelites. And God forgave the Israelites. In fact, there was a time when there was plague in the camp because they murmured against Moses. And Moses told Aaron, quickly go and take a censer, go and burn some incense and atone for people. And he did, and 14,000 or 15,000 people died. But when he made the atonement, the plague stopped. And we see it many times, multiple times. God said he was going to wipe these people out and just build a nation from Moses. And we saw Moses interceding. One of the models of intercession is Moses. He interceded for these people despite the things they did, even against him personally. He interceded for them. And God forgave them. But what happened when Moses made a mistake and sinned against God? When he struck the rock, when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and God told him, you're not going to enter into the promised land. Moses pleaded and begged God. God said no. Why? I believe because the requirements of leadership is stronger than the requirements of followership. So those people that lead, you must hold the office with fear and reverence. Because there's higher requirement. Praise the Lord. How did I get there? Praise God. So divine alignment is important. Whatever you do for God, Lord, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Align me, Lord. Align me. That was my prayer in 2025. Align me. Align me. Align me. It's very important. Point four. Prayer is an invitation to partner with heaven to invade earth. Prayer is an invitation to partner with heaven to invade earth. Prayer is not just communication. It is a partnership. And it is a privilege. It's a privilege to partner with God. It's a privilege to play a part in what God is doing in a city, in somebody's life, or in a nation. It's a privilege. And that's a privilege we must understand and hold it dearly. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. We are God's workmanship, which means God's fellow workers. We work together with God. Prayer is partnership with God, and God actually designed it to be so. Many things God didn't need it. For example, God is God by himself. Whether you praise him or not, whether you worship him or not, whether you give him your stuff or not, he is God. He remains God. He will ever be God. The time he needs your service to become God, that's the time he ceases to be God. He doesn't need all these things, but yet he chose to receive those things. He chose to delight in those things. That's why someone exclaimed, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" What is it about man? What is it about man that you so much love him that you came to die for him? There's something about man and God, the love of God, that is, it's beyond our comprehension. We probably will never ever understood it throughout eternity. So God doesn't need us in a sense, but he chose to walk with us and through us. Even though he's sovereign, but he still chose to walk through us and with us. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 says, "I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." God is seeking for a man that will stand in the gap. God is seeking for people that will intercede on behalf of other people and on behalf of nations. It is a divine partnership. There are some things that will not happen in England until the Christians pray. There are things that will not happen in Mirrod until King's Church Cambridge pray. There are some things that will not happen in the life of your family, extended family, until you get on your knees and pray. Because that is what God is calling us unto. So prayer is an invitation to partner with God. Every believer has been called to intercessory prayers, to stand in the gap. It is not just the job of a few people. Everyone has been called to be an intercessor. How much intercessory prayer you do is an indication of how far you have grown in God. And this is very easy to understand, because when you look at a baby or a toddler, it's all about me, 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 everything me. Me, me, me. My needs, my car, my house, my health. That is 100% of their prayer time. But when you see a child becoming selfless, you know they are growing to maturity. So a sign of maturity in the life of a believer is how much you engage in intercession. If we can look at your prayer point, we can decide how far you've gone. Every believer is called to live a life of intercession. And this is very powerful. Because when you partner with God, you are giving heaven an opportunity to invade earth. And you can shift regions, you can shift nations, you can shift people's destinies literally on your knees. So why should we limit that advantage to our own needs? So God is calling you to be an intercessor. That person that irritates you at the place of work, God is calling you to pray for them. Sorry for mentioning that. That family member that you don't like, it's a time for you to pray for them. Pray for this nation. Pray for this city. Pray for the government, whether you like Labour Party or not. Pray for them. God did not say pray for them only if you like them. He said, pray for leadership. Pray for those in leader, in the leadership position. Point five. Prayer is an adventure with God where impossibilities become possibilities. It is an adventure with God where impossibilities become possibilities. Jeremiah 33 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Prayer is not just a daily routine. It is an adventure with God. I can tell you, it is an adventure with God. It is an adventure you should go for. Just as much as you go for skating, what other adventures? Skydiving, all those things that could take the breath out of your lungs, but you still go for them anyway. That is actually prayer. What prayer it is. It could be daunting, but it is exciting. And it is fulfilling. When you begin to live a life of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer, God will begin to go beyond your prayers. And He will show you things you did not ask for, or things you could have never imagined. And you can look at the verse, Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you. Ideally, that should be full stop. Why do you call to God? Why do you pray? It's because God should, so that God would hear you, right? And that God would answer you. So when He said, and I will answer you, that should have been the end of discussion, right? But He went beyond that. He said, I will show you what? Great and mighty things which you do not know. If they didn't know, that means they probably didn't even ask for it or prayed for it. But God showed them anyway. There's a level of consistency in prayer that you reach, that God will begin to show you things that you didn't even ask Him for. You come to that level of friendship. God begins to share with you His heart. God begins to tell you details about people that you didn't even ask for. He will begin to show you things that you do not know. And that's where you want to get to. You want to get to that level of consistency in prayer, in fellowship, and communion with God. We can see some examples in the Bible. First, we probably will not read everything, but we can see Simeon. Is it Simeon? I believe Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, 25 to 32. Bible says he was a devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Spirit was upon him. Bible says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And again says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. God showed him stuff. And God led him by that same Spirit to be at the same time. At that point, there was no 3 network, Vodafone, which was that one? EE. There was no phone, mobile phone. There was no record that when Joseph and Mary got to the temple, they called Simeon, come, we're at the temple. No, he came by the Spirit. There was something God was walking through him and showing through him. And later on, I believe in verse 36, there was also another prophetess. Was it Anna?
Yes.
Anna also. Bible says she devoted herself to prayer and fasting. These people, God was showing them stuff, and they were in the temple. That is the symptom or the advantage or the characteristics of people that are living a lifestyle of prayer. We also see an example in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, when Rebecca was pregnant. The children struggled in her womb. And I believe this was the first occasion of a twin in the Bible. So there was a struggle within her, and she didn't know what was happening within her. Bible says that she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. If she didn't go to inquire, she would not know about this. And we know what this is. We're talking about Jacob and Esau, I believe. That Esau was going to serve Jacob. But there was also a prophetic declaration there. It was also saying that the old nature will serve the new nature. The old man will serve the new man. That is God's intention, but that's just something by the side. But the point is, it was through prayer that she got to know what's happening. Some of us, we are restless in the spirit. We know something's happening, but we just continue to live life. That is wrong. There are some times when the Holy Spirit will give you indications, signals. Sometimes you are just restless in your spirit and there's nothing physically wrong before you. Those are the times you need to set aside time to pray, sometimes to fast, to understand what is happening. And when you draw near to Him, He said, I will draw near to you. When you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you didn't take that first step, you will not get the second part. So when you take your own first step to draw near to Him, He will draw near to you and He will show you what is happening. Praise God. Another thing is that new realms of possibility open up. We see in Matthew 19:26 where Jesus said that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So when you engage in a prayer lifestyle, the realms of possibilities, they open up unto you. Because you partner with a God that nothing is impossible with Him. Because you spend time with Him who is the author of life, Him that sits on the throne. Because you spend that time with Him, impossibilities become possibilities when you spend time with Him. So this is just some of the reasons why you should live a consistent lifestyle of prayer. First point, again, we have been designed for a life of prayer. We have been designed for a life of prayer. If you're not praying, you are fainting. You are fainting. And you are malfunctioning. We derive life from God through prayer. He said, abide in me and I in you. Prayer ensures divine alignment. You want to be aligned to what God has written concerning you. You just don't want to end up before Him on that day and He told you, I never told you to do this. It was just a waste of time and a distraction. So divine alignment, I cannot overemphasize that. I was talking to a group of people yesterday. The best place you can be is where God wants you to be. So divine alignment is important. Prayer is an invitation to partner with heaven to invade earth. We talk about intercession. Using that opportunity, not just for your own needs, but for God to shape nations, to change nations and to change people. And prayer is an adventure. It's an adventure where impossibilities become possibilities. Engage in that adventure. I would encourage you to engage in it. If you've been praying just 5 minutes before, double it. If you've been praying 10 minutes, double it. 20 minutes, double it. Spend time with God. Create space for Him. Like I said, the world system has been meant to remove God from your life. It's been designed and created that way. It's a Babylonian system. It's a system that has been created to adorn Babylon. They take talents from countries, talents from Israel, to adorn Babylon. That was how Daniel found himself there. They take the princes, the best men from the city. So they try to take your talents just to use it to. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it should not work. No, that's not the point. My point is, in the middle of the walk, create space for God and make sure what you are doing is glorifying God. Create time for God. Praise the Lord. Right, so I just transitioned to the prophetic word that God gave me. I think we have a few more minutes. And this can be found in Numbers. It's a long read, but I will try to summarize it. Numbers chapter 17, verse 1 to 9. I will summarize the first part. So this was the time when some of the children, people from the tribe of Levi, they came against Moses and Aaron. They challenged Aaron and Moses, should you be just lording over us? They questioned their leadership. And God was angry with them. And many things happened because of time, we'll not go through it. But God gave them at some point, Moses, an instruction. He told them to take a rod from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he should place the rod in the tabernacle of witness, the tent of meeting. Right? And then, okay, let's jump to verse 6. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod apiece, for each leader according to their father's houses. 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And verse 8 says, now it came to pass on the next day. This wasn't like 2 months after or 2 years after. The Bible says on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds overnight, had produced blossoms and yielded not just almonds, but ripe almonds ready to eat. Now, we are talking about a rod that is physically dead. It's not connected to the soil. It's not connected to water. There is no physical evidence of fruitfulness. That same rod, when it was placed in the tabernacle of witness, it budded, produced fruit overnight. Overnight. This is the power of the God that we serve. This is the power of the God that we serve. He can cause things to sprout overnight. By overnight, I mean overnight. Remember, He is Alpha, He is Omega, He is everything in between. There is no time limit with God. Even though your past is your past, God can still fix your past. He is in your past, He is in your present, He is in your future. He is not bound by time. He can make your Aaron's rod to bud. And how does it connect with the message? The tent of meeting is the place where Moses encounters God. It's the place where Moses goes out to speak with God. It's the place where God speaks to the people of Israel. And we can see that in Exodus 25, 22. It says, there I will meet with you. It's a place of meeting. It's talking about your prayer life. Your prayer life, where you meet with God. So things can happen in the place where you meet with God. Your Aaron's rod can board in the place where you meet with God. Whatever represents Aaron's rod in your life, God wants to cause a supernatural turnaround such that it buds, it sprouts, it blossoms, and it produces ripe fruits overnight. And I am excited about this. But it shows how limitless our God is, how powerful our God is, how dependable He is. Whatever represents a dead rod in your life, maybe a calling that feels stagnant, a promise that seems delayed, a situation with no visible progress, God is saying, bring it into my presence. Bring that issue into my presence. Bring it to the tabernacle of witness. Bring that problem into my presence. Bring it to the place of prayer, and I will cause it to bud. It will not just bud. It will produce fruit, ripe fruit, ready to eat. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. What cannot happen naturally, God can cause it to happen supernaturally. What cannot happen naturally, God can cause it to happen supernaturally. So my conclusion, God is calling you into more. A life of prayer, and it's so good that we have a month ahead of prayer. Like I said, I didn't plan this. I didn't know that was planned. I got to know this morning. So God is calling us to a life of prayer, a life of partnership, and a life of faith. And this is your moment to respond. You must choose to believe again. You must choose to dream again and to pray again. You must stop settling for survivor when you were designed for divine partnership with God. God wants to do greater things in your life, but He is calling you into alignment, not passivity. So rise up and return to the place of prayer. I'm calling some people this morning. I'm calling you. I'm speaking to your spirit wherever you have been stuck, wherever you have bowed your head. I'm speaking to you. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and return to that place of hope. Rise up and return to that place of faith. Rise up and return to that place of prayer. Return to the place where heaven meets earth. Because prayer is not just a discipline. It is a lifestyle of those who walk with God. Praise the Lord. Can we rise up on our feet?
Thank you for listening, and we trust that the Word of God has inspired you today. For further information about King's Church, or to access our large archive of other recordings, go to www.kingscambridge.org. If you're listening on iTunes, we would love you to leave us some feedback. God bless and goodbye.